Hey, St. John. Welcome to the Post Sermon Podcast. I am Deaconess Dahlia, and with me today is Pastor Adam.
Hi, Deaconess.
Today, we are discussing your sermon from this past Sunday. So tell me, what is the text that you preached on?
The reading is from Genesis chapter 22, first 14 verses, and it is the story of Abraham and the near sacrifice of Isaac.
And this was for Lent 5, so before Holy Week starts.
Yeah, yep. It's been interesting in our church service how the prayer of thanksgiving right before communion has had these descriptors of this Old Testament reading and knowing it was coming all season of Lent, and finally here we are. And I think it's quite appropriate the week before Holy Week to think about how the Lord provides a substitute, in this case a ram, one day his son for us.
What was the central teaching of your sermon?
The central teaching of the sermon is that God the Father provides God the Son to save us sons and daughters.
So in your sermon, you went into child sacrifice, that this was a common practice back in Abraham's day, right?
Yeah, it was a common practice with some of the religions of the time, and even throughout the Old Testament, you run into various religions that would practice this sort of thing. And I mentioned, for instance, the god known as Molech, and is often has the descriptor of being the detestable god, Molech. And as horrifying as this all sounds and is, this was quite pervasive. And you'd even get these horrifying details in the scriptures of how the children of Israel would start to take on these practices. This is one of the reasons why God is so adamant of not being converted by the false gods and the false religions, because look at some of the things that come about from this. And you even get kings of Israel like Manasseh, who offers up his sons to these gods. And these are horrifying things.
And you talked a little bit about the world that we live in today. I detected a little bit of sarcasm when you were preaching about how we, thankfully, we do not live in a world of child sacrifice today. And you went into some interesting examples for us. Do you want to just briefly tell me like your thought process with that and what you're talking about, like how maybe we sacrifice our children nowadays?
Yeah, and you mentioned the sarcasm piece. I deliberated for some bit of how do I connect these ideas from the reading, from Abraham's day to our day, and I just didn't think the move would work as simply just saying, hey, we have child sacrifice today, here's what it is, and I just don't know necessarily how all of the hearers would go along with me in that. I also, as you mentioned, I use sarcasm or satire. I was really concerned with how to present that and even speak about, you know, the various things I do in that part of the sermon, because I didn't want to be so, I don't know, mean or dismissively cutting with this stuff.
It was a little cutting though, but yeah, I can see what you mean. You don't want to go too far.
Yeah. And at the same time though, even though you don't have the official gods of like Molech and Baal and all these things running around, we have exchanged the names of the gods for other things. And to give us some pause of what is our surrounding context and why does it inform the sort of decisions that we make. And so, you know, I start right away with the ideas of abortion and quietly flushing away children, moving into parents and how they raise their children and the mistreatment of children by their parents, and the ideas of children becoming investments, or I'm going to live the life I wanted to through my child, and I'm going to make my child study this field and get this sort of job so that they're my retirement plan. We've run into these sorts of things. We see these things in our families, and that's not what a parent ought to do. From there, I move to the idea of war and how you get the sort of idea of young people fight old people's wars, and just kind of brought that to the fore, and that often does happen. We think of like an All Quiet on the Western Front sort of thing of, you know, what does war do and how do these things come about? And then finally, I move to the idea of just generational resentment, because I didn't just want to simply say, like, look what the old people are doing. We younger people, and are we still younger people, Deaconess? Do we qualify for that?
I sure hope so.
Okay. whatever we want to label ourselves, I don't care. It's easy to sort of think, well, once, you know, a generation moves up into the ranks of power and decision-making, it's just as things do, as generations pass away and other ones fill the roles, it's so easy to forget how we have been treated and can exact that sort of mistreatment on the next generation. And just part of history and seeing sinfulness across humanity. And so again, my goal with using satire or sarcasm, and I would appreciate feedback on that because I was concerned with how I would even deliver it, because I wanted to actually bring my hearer along with me and to see, yeah, there are these practices and tendencies in our lives that are emulative of child sacrifice, and to see part of what our sinfulness has done is this is what we do to people. This is what we do to the human family. And we need God to intervene into this family to save it. And he does so in the incarnation of his son, Jesus.
Yeah, I think personally, when I heard you preach this, it definitely got my attention, how you presented this child sacrifice, if you will, that we do nowadays. And yeah, I don't know, it got me thinking just with your examples and nowadays. I think that is a really good point, is when parents are given the gift of a child, I think there's just inherently sacrifice on the part of the parents that they're now really giving their lives to, like, raise these children. But it is how often that gets twisted in our fallen world, where instead of the parents sacrificing themselves, they end up sacrificing their children for, you know, fill in the blank. And, you know, I think you had covered those examples really well.
Yeah. And I think also just by the nature of the short amount of time that part of the sermon was, means I'm not being exhaustive in nuance and all the different details and situations that could arise and what I mean and don't mean. I just wanted to make sure I bring my hearers along to think of, yeah, there is this sort of tendency to sacrifice and to sacrifice children and to mistreat one another as this human family. We can all come along into this. This exposes our sinfulness and our need for a savior.
How did you intend to benefit your hearers in their faith or life?
I wanted my hearers to read Genesis 22 from God's divine perspective. This is another challenge with this reading. And so you already heard my, if you will, my lamenting of how do I connect these ideas of child sacrifice in Abraham's day to our day and actually get us to a place to say, you know what, there's more similarity than I would care to admit, but it's true. The reading from Genesis 22, the near sacrifice of Isaac, it is a difficult reading to preach. It's a difficult reading to hear. And you know the move is going to be to get to Jesus somehow. Like, here's the substitute. Here's the ram. You know, Jesus is in our place. It's still a really difficult reading to get to. God told a father, kill your son. The prayer of Thanksgiving I mentioned, right? Let me go grab that real quick.
Careful.
I was trying to do slick podcast magic and I dropped the book on the floor. Oh, well. Well, we'll see if I even leave that in. Let's see here. The prayer of Thanksgiving, it says, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You'll notice throughout the church here, for the service order that we're using, those words are always there. And then it's this middle part that gets swapped out depending on the time of the year. And so the middle part for Lent is this. At your command, again, at your command, God, Abraham prepared to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice on the mountain. I do appreciate how this prayer just doesn't avoid that point. It just says, this is what God told a father to do. Okay, back to the prayer. Yet, what an important yet. In mercy, you provided a ram as a substitute. We give you thanks that on Calvary, you spared not your only son, but sent him to offer his life as a ransom for many. I mean, now it's echoing Romans 8:32. He, God the Father, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? I mean, what is the sort of mercy and generosity and kindness of God? And to take that as far and as seriously as we can, Abraham and Isaac does this. And as the prayer goes on, as we eat and drink his body and blood, grant us, like Abraham, our father, to trust in your promise now fulfilled in Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. And then we move into the Lord's Prayer. So you asked me, how did I want to benefit my hearers in their faith and life? I wanted to get to the move for us to see Jesus, to see God, the Father and Son at work in the plan to save us. But honestly, Deaconess, I just didn't want it to come across as a cheap transition. And I didn't want us to lose sight of the seriousness of what's actually happening in this scene. Right? I mean, Abraham raises the knife to slay his son. And it just doesn't really sit well with me personally to just say, well, God knows he's going to fix it. I mean, God put a father and a son through this. Now, one attempt is to try to explain away God and say, well, God knew he's going to do, and it's not that big of a deal, and look how happy ending. That's a pretty traumatic thing that God put them through. And so I didn't want to just ignore that as we start to see things from God's perspective. And that's why I started the sermon with the grieving father, right? He's trying to read the story and he can't finish it. We move into the child sacrifice stuff. And then after kind of saying, these are awful things, and kind of naming them aloud, at least they're on the table in front of us, can we at least now see things from God's perspective too? And that God the Father and God the Son, they're watching this situation as well. They know the day of grief is coming for them. The day when God the Son dies on the cross for the sins of the world. The day when God the Son calls out to the Father and all you get is silence in return. I did have I don't know if you're going to ask about the catechism or whatnot, but I had a thought in the sermon to move over to the Lord's Prayer. And just one of the best parts of the Lord's Prayer, and Luther emphasizes this in the introduction, is that we, as God's dear children, we get to call upon our dear Father. It's so beautiful in the Lord's Prayer. We say our Father, and he actually hears us every time. God the Son calls out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? He doesn't get that sort of privilege that we will always have now because of what happened to God the Son. I mean, this gets to the heart of the gospel. It gets to the mystery of the gospel. Genesis 22 is a hard reading to preach on, is what I want to say. And I still wanted my hearers to find comfort in the Father and the Son are at work to save us. And to trust in that work, even if it just seems so outlandish or irrational, or how could God do that? Don't try to get into the explaining God business, but just say, he has. The Father did not spare his Son that we may be saved. The substitute was provided that Isaac was spared. Christ, the substitute, was provided that we would be spared too.
I love that. And I don't know, just while you were talking, it just made me wonder. So we're like Isaac, that we were spared. And I mean, how often does it feel like we are in his place of just, I mean, you brought up the grieving father. You brought up, I mean, really trying, traumatic, horrible things happen to us in life. And it can just very much feel like we are, I don't know, like being put to death in a way. But then like through that, the Lord is still working. And in this mysterious way, he has put his Son in our place so that we don't have to like suffer the full wrath of that. I don't know. That's just a thought I had when you were talking.
Yeah, yeah. And I think this idea of, I just did not want to cheapen the child sacrifice stuff. I did not want to cheapen the transition to the gospel of, well, God's really going to save us and he's going to give us Jesus. There is a full weight and seriousness of that. I mean, what is the depth of the words of Jesus when he prays in the garden, my Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. This is why we read as much as we do on Holy Week and just kind of sit back in awe. I was just working through the Matthew account because that's what we're going to look at for Holy Week next week, just recently, and we're going to have the scene of Pilate and the prisoner swap, Jesus or Barabbas. Do you recall what the name Barabbas means? Or sometimes you might hear it say as Bar Abbas to kind of break up the two words.
Oh, is that something like Abba Father?
Yeah, yeah, and then the bar is referring to the son, so son of the father.
Okay.
And so even just think about this guy's name, this criminal, this murderer is in prison. This son of the father, he's the one who gets set free. And Jesus, the true son of the father, quite literally takes his cell, his space.
Yeah, that's great.
And what a picture of what the gospel is for us.
Right. No, I mean, that's amazing, because just going back to what I was saying earlier about things that happened to us, like what almost happened to Isaac. But then, yeah, the things we do, the sin that we inflict on others, very much like God still taking our place. That's cool. I also wanted to just bring up, I really loved how you concluded the sermon. Like you brought back the grieving father into it. And you had just this really great line about, we await the day when God the Father will actually put an end to our grief. That was beautiful. So I just like that part.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I loved connecting. I mean, Genesis 22, really hard reading to preach, but also a reading that you can just, you can see the Holy Spirit's handiwork throughout of all these little details and connections. And I mean, it's happening on Mount Moriah. That's where Jerusalem's going to be. The name of the place is called "The Lord Will Provide." Abraham got to say that himself that day when Isaac was provided back to him. And I was loosely quoting from, this is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This is beautiful. What the writer says, he says, Abraham, he considered that God was able even to raise him, Isaac, from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. And so what Hebrews is bringing up here is an aspect of the text you could have gone into of Abraham's faith. And the author of Hebrews is elucidating that for us a little bit more. But I love that language of Isaac came back from the dead figuratively. But for us, it's not figurative. It's going to be quite actual. And grief will be put away for good. The Father will raise us from the dead, all of us sons and daughters. And we'll get to say, Yahweh has provided.
Yeah, no, I and that was your last line of the sermon. And I thought that was fantastic, just to think that, yes, we can see now how God provides, but it's not complete yet, right? Like, but to one day actually be able to see God has provided, like, this is it. And that's really, there's a lot of hope in that, I think, for us.
So yeah, Genesis 22, a really potent reading, a powerful reading, a lot of tough, serious themes, but I hope it also came through as there's some really powerful gospel there too, and quite appropriate. The Sunday before Holy Week, as we see and rehear once more, this is how God went about saving all of us.
Well, this wraps up the episode for today. Thank you for listening to our discussion. In case you missed the sermon or you'd like to listen to it again, the link to the sermon is in the show notes. You can also find it on our church website, stjohndublin.org. If you, the listener, would like to submit a question about a sermon, please email us at podcast@stjohndublin.org. Thank you, Pastor, for joining me and for feeding us the word this week.
Thanks, Deaconess.
Take care, guys. Bye.
Bye.